This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I'm going to talk a little Daytona 500 in a minute because I'm confused. But I wanted to bring this up. Second pick in the draft, great opportunities for the Browns. We've said repeatedly they have to get it right. You know, if your evaluation is you take a quarterback, you know, you like one of those guys, you think he's going to be good, then you go ahead and you take him, you know, and you get that guy and blah, 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 blah. Right? I mean, you just do it. The question that I have in my head is, will their evaluations be right? Will they pick the better players?
That's what all of us are hoping.
Exactly.
Nobody wins when you play the draft game. When you sit back there and look at previous drafts and go, oh, well.
Well, and certainly not the Browns. The deputy editor of NFL.com is Gennaro Felice. And he put out a thing, NFL rookie grades ranking each 2024 draft class from 1 to 32. There are 32 teams in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Browns were 32nd.
Okay.
Now,
that hurts.
They do point out right away, they made only two selections in the first 150 picks. And those two guys were the only rookies to reach 200 offensive or defensive snaps on the season.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, where you try to make hay, they didn't make hay.
Right.
Anything after round three. And they ended up trading picks and everything else. So they drafted in the second, third, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. And I get that. You get that. They didn't have a lot to do, you know, a lot to use.
Correct. It all went for Elijah Moore and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And he said, you know, Zach Zinter played every game but had trouble.
He had a rough
season.
And
Michael Hall Jr. looked pretty good, but had trouble.
He also had a rough season for a lot of other reasons.
And then got hurt. So they had him at 32nd. So anybody who questions whether or not the Browns are going to get it right with the second pick, I think that's a valid question to ask.
It's a real valid question. He's safe, right?
Well, they said he is.
Yeah.
He's here now. If he weren't, I would think he'd be gone now, wouldn't you?
There's no shot. We're in a position.
No. Not at this point. I know what you're going to say. Did they get rid of him now before the draft?
Did they get rid of him after the draft? Because we've started seeing that every so often.
Why would you have a guy use the second pick in the draft and then get rid of him?
I've never understood.
I know, but teams do. I know.
We've seen it more and more lately where these teams are getting done with the draft and then going, okay, now you're done. Let's get somebody else in here. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You just set yourself back a whole bunch now.
Exactly.
The only way that I could see them doing
it. And go through free agency.
Is if for some reason they believe that Glenn Cook or somebody inside of that building along the lines could take over seamlessly and lead them in a better direction than Andrew Berry. That's the only way that you could go, okay, I guess I kind of get it. But it very much feels like that they are... This is the guy. They think they have the guy who can make the picks. And whether the fans agree or disagree, he's the dude that's making the moves. And boy, when you hear stuff like that, it makes you ask some questions.
Yeah. I wonder. We'll see where it goes. Eddie's in Akron. Eddie, welcome to the Fan.
Hi,
Eddie.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. Hey, I understand why we have to discuss the draft. It's an interesting topic. What disappoints me about the media is that we haven't had a deep dive into why there were no internal changes, adjustments with the front office. We didn't bring anybody in. We didn't adjust our scouts. Is that something you guys can pursue and find out from the Browns why?
Well, I can tell you why. They gave those guys contract extensions, and they believe continuity is the way to go.
I'm not asking to fire them. I'm saying, could you not bring in an additional person with a different point of view or experience?
Well, the guy who's running it is the guy who's running it,
yeah, Eddie,
and that's Andrew Berry.
It's the question that I had when it came to deciding, okay, we're going to move up Bill Musgrave and we're going to move up Tommy Rees. Like, that was the question that I had. Is like, you're not going to go outside the organization at all for one of the crummiest offenses we've all watched for an extended period of time. Instead, you're just going to go, that's all on Ken Dorsey. He's the problem. Goodbye. Like
yes, they did.
That's really what it feels like, is they just went, it's Ken Dorsey, it's Andy Dickerson. It's all on those two. Those two were the whole reason that this thing went to squat.
Well, we know there's more to it than that. The quarterback play was a huge part of it.
Correct.
So Kevin ran good offenses in the past.
Yes.
My guess is they're planning to go back to that. And that Eddie, is why they didn't make moves.
It's my guess,
the,
too.
Ownership likes the head coach, and ownership likes the front office. But at least right now.
But I would have thought that you would have brought in someone else just to go.
You did that last year, and it didn't work.
Like Clint Kubiak would be a perfect example. And maybe it's because Clint Kubiak wants to call plays. Okay? That's easily could be the reason. That could easily solve all of these woes and answer all that question. But you would have thought that they would have went out and got somebody else from the same tree, Stefanski tree, right? And brought them in and said, all right, we are heading back to what we know, but we want to bring in a little bit more of a modern flair to it. So we brought this guy in to help it. And maybe that's the Tommy Rees thing, and maybe that becomes the answer to it. But it seemed bizarre to me that they didn't do that at any point. Instead, everything was in-house, and they just threw their hands up in the air and went, it's Andy Dickerson and Ken Dorsey's fault. Well, those two are out of there. We're going to be back to normal, and everything's fine.
I thought when Tommy Rees was brought in, I thought, all right, offensive coordinator in waiting. It doesn't surprise me at all that he got the gig. I assumed that he would, if you want to know the truth.
I thought they would go, okay, this was all a mess. Maybe we keep Tommy Rees along for a little bit or let somebody else take it over from there and bring in somebody with ties to the Shanahan-Kubiak tree. I thought that's the route they would go. You were right. They stuck with Tommy Rees. I'm in.
Now he better be good.
Yeah, now
he better be good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or dsw.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good. Absolutely.
I wanted to bring this up. Did you watch any of the Daytona 500? We had Matt Collig on. His team didn't win, but Matt's team's had a good showing at the Daytona 500, Collig Racing. Did you watch any of it?
I did not.
Okay.
But I saw that it was a mess.
The poor guy, it was a mess. The poor thing was supposed to start at like 2:30, rain delay, as opposed to Indy cars, you know, that sometimes run in the rain. They don't run these things in the rain, so they had to dry the track and everything else, and it started late, sometime around 5:30, 6:30, something like that. So it ended up being a night race. I don't understand this, and if anybody from who is a big NASCAR fan wants to help me with this, I do not understand for the life of me why they race 500 miles anymore, because they do these things called stages. And after a stage, all right, so you won the first stage and it's like 60 laps. And then they just, they bunch everybody back up again. And then you run another stage and you bunch everybody back up again. So it's like three different races. Wait. And then you run the final stage and everybody's all bunched up. And you get to the final laps of the race and everybody's on the lead lap. And they're all in a big pack. And to me, the idea of going 500 miles in an auto race is because the best car and perhaps the best driver separate themselves. And there's no separation in like almost all of these NASCAR races. And you had major, major crashes in like the last 10 laps of the race. Cars just getting blown out of there. I don't get it.
I don't either. Like, I don't understand. So I am NASCAR dumb. I will be the first to say that.
I love it, but I don't get it either.
I don't really pay attention to it. I understand it in the general thing that the fastest car, who is the best driver and maneuvers the best around the track, is the one that comes out ahead. Like, I understand how like races work, but like, I'm not the brightest NASCAR person, and I'm a little over my skis on this. So please, I apologize to everybody out there who are NASCAR fans.
And so am I.
Before all the dumb things that are about to come out of my mouth, I apologize. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be better. So if you could correct me, please correct me on any of this. When did the stages thing start? Has that always been the case?
It was 2019 in Daytona.
Okay.
So, but like you watch the Indy 500, somebody might pull out to a lead, you know, like have a half lap lead. Well, that can be dramatic too.
Right.
I actually think it's even more dramatic than, okay, who's going to get wrecked here? Because that's what happens. The guy in the lead lap, last night got wrecked from the guy behind him.
Correct.
Ended up taking out Ryan Preece, who used to race for Brad Doherty.
Yes.
And he went airborne. And it's like, well, all this does is, and the guy who won was William Bryan. I think he said, let's. Last name, and his second year in a row. I should know that. And he just happened to be in ninth place when leaders got taken out, and he just drove through the mess. So, in other words, it was the last guy standing kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
It's like, oh, there's nobody in front of me. I can go. And he did, and he won. And it happened, you know, the car's wrecked on the last lap. To me, that's not racing. To me, that's like, keep your fingers crossed that we don't get wiped out on the last couple of laps.
Right.
And it defeats the entire purpose. I don't find it interesting because though folks might like, you know, everybody on the last lap because it's chaos. Yeah, it's chaos.
Right.
Instead of a race. You bunch everybody up. I don't get it. So maybe I don't have an appreciation for it.
It feels a little bit more like a shootout the way that you're laying it out.
Exactly right. You could do what they do by running a 10-lap race.
Right. That's kind of what it sounds like, is they've taken a race that's known for
endurance,
its longevity. Like,
yeah.
Like in the, you know, it's endurance, it's ability to drive for an extended period of time, ability to read, ability to, you know, do all these things.
Ability to have a better car.
Such a way. Right. And have shortened it in such a way that it's almost cheapened it.
I think so.
So
weird to me.
Yeah. What? I wonder what made them make this change all those years ago, because you're right. It was always the Daytona 500 was all about endurance. I mean, it's, and again, my auto racing is very minimal. I've seen Ford versus Ferrari a whole bunch of times, so I can give you what they know about Le Mans. But like, which by the way, God, is that a good movie? Anyhow, I know it from that regard. And I know the biggest thing when it comes from that race is having, you know, A, the multiple drivers and the ability to keep the car together and not burn out or anything like that that comes with it. And I always thought the Daytona 500 was a shortened version of that general concept.
Well, these guys just wreck each other.
Right.
And they do it in the final laps. And the whole thing is, well, if you're running at the end, all right, well, like, you know, there were 20 cars running at the end in the lead pack. I mean, they're all there. And then they wipe each other out.
Because I'm reading updates on Twitter.
I don't find it entertaining to watch.
And I'm just seeing like tens of drivers just getting knocked out all over the place in these wrecks. And then I see so-and-so won stage three. And I was like, stage three? What do we do? What is this? What?
And then this guy wins the race because the guys in front of him got wiped out on the last lap. And they always say, well, you know it's going to come. So you just got to be there and you never know what happens. Well, then that's not really racing. That's luck, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
more than
either
anything.
That or it's reactions, an ability to dodge something or see some kind of indication that a wreck is about to come and get away from it, which I guess is driving in some way, shape, or form. I give them credit for that one. But, boy, adding more wrecks doesn't feel like the solution, unless that's what people want.
William Byron, the winner, learned to race on computers. When he was a kid, you know, these guys start doing go-karts and everything at a really young age. He didn't start driving until he was 15, but he did everything on simulation, on video games and stuff. And he was a big-time video game race winner.
Yeah, playing Gran Turismo or all those.
All that stuff. Yeah. And when his dad, when he was 15, his dad thought, well, how can we maybe see if he can actually be a driver? So as opposed to these other guys who, you know, start driving these go-karts and everything at a much younger age, he did it from video games.
That's cool.
And it is kind of cool, isn't
that's
it?
That's way, yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like those pilot simulators and all that stuff and how they do the flight simulators. Yeah. Yeah.
That said, I still like watching the Daytona 500 and NASCAR. But for the life of me, I don't get it. I don't get what they're thinking. Jimmy Watkins is a columnist for the PlainDealerCleveland.com. Jimmy's going to join us next. We're going to talk a little Browns, a little Cavaliers with Jimmy on Baskin and Phelps. Menigan's in for Andy today.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Be a virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.